Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, it's often said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Do you work in an office divided against itself? What to do when political and social polarization spills over into the workplace? Also this morning, it's been in the works for months after being approved by voters last year. Recreational marijuana sales in Ohio begin this week. And even though there are no dispensaries in Hancock County, local authorities are paying close attention to the rollout. And there's still plenty of summer fun to be had, even as the Findlay YMCA is busy preparing for the fall. We'll find out what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, August 6th, 2024. So the U.S. added 8 more medals at the Paris Olympics yesterday. Team USA now up to 79 total medals, including 21 gold. And that ties China for the most gold medals thus far. Not only do we lead the medal count, now we are tied for the lead in the most gold medals. The Chinese are second in the overall standings with 53 total medals. France, the host nation, is third with 48. So some of the highlights today, LeBron James and the U.S. men's basketball team looking to lock up a spot in the semifinals. Team USA faces Brazil in the quarterfinals today. That game tips off at 3:30. Meanwhile, the U.S. women's soccer team will attempt to advance to the gold medal match this afternoon. They play against Germany, who they beat in the group stage pretty handily. But you don't want to be overconfident going into this one. The winner will play for the gold on Saturday. And congratulations, Trevor Bassett, who finished first in his second chance heat in the men's 400 hurdles earlier this morning, just a few minutes ago, finished first in the heat to round out the field in the men's 400 meter final. So he will be advancing. Great news there as well. It's a good stuff here. The big story every day. There's been some really cool, sometimes crazy story out of the Olympics. And this morning's big story, the big story from yesterday, is the gymnast Carlos Yulo out of the Philippines. He won 2 gold medals yesterday in men's gymnastics. Now, the Philippines, I mean, we're used to winning a lot of medals and a lot of gold medals. I mean, we're at the top of the list. But in the Philippines, they won their very first ever Olympic gold medal 4 years ago in 2020. I think it was a weightlifting gold. They have never had any athlete win multiple golds. I mean, there's only been the one gold that they have ever received. Yesterday, Carlos Yulo won 2 gold medals. 2 becomes the most decorated Olympic athlete in that nation's history. And he is going home to a hero's welcome. According to social media, a lot of companies there in the Philippines have said, we're giving you stuff. I mean, he's going to get a lifetime of free buffet meals from Vikings, I guess is a restaurant chain. He get lifetime free food and drinks at the Tipsy Pig in the Philippines. He will have a fully furnished 2-bedroom condo from the Mega World Corporation in the Philippines and a lifetime of free colonoscopies from Dr. Virgil Lowe. Well, there you go. I mean, now that's some motivation to do well at the Olympics. He will also receive a lifetime of free Bok double boxes from Bok Korean Fried Chicken. And the government will also give Mr. Yulo $52,000 for his accomplishments. So that's how much the gold medal winners get paid in the Philippines, apparently. They haven't had to pay that out very often, but won two gold medals, and the whole country is going crazy. So that is absolutely fabulous. I love that story. Let's see. This is big news. Definitely one of the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Big, big news. Two federal lawsuits seeking millions of dollars from General Mills. The plaintiffs in the lawsuits say that Cocoa Puffs cereal could contain high levels of lead. You've got Cocoa Puffs in your bowl this morning. Put that spoon down. Lawsuits filed recently in Minnesota and California are calling for more than $5 million in damages for consumers nationwide. One suit claims a one-cup serving of Cocoa Puffs contains just a little less than the state's maximum allowable limit of 0.5 micrograms of lead. 0.5 micrograms of lead. And the one cup serving contains just under that. So, now, if you're going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, that's not a good thing. Apparently, it's hazardous for your health. So I saw this story on the Newswire, and apparently Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running an independent campaign for the presidency, was feeling a little left out with all of the attention being paid to the other candidates. So he announced or admitted yesterday that he was the one who left a dead bear in New York City's Central Park 10 years ago. Now, I don't know if you remember this story. I kind of vaguely remember this when there was a dead bear cub that was found in Central Park in New York City 10 years ago. And now, Mr. Kennedy, RFK Jr., says he was the one that put it there. He says he saw the bear get hit by the car, he saw the bear get hit by a car in the Hudson Valley, and he took the cub from the side of the road with the intention of skinning it, but didn't get the chance, so he decided to just dump it in Central Park and make it look as though the cub had been hit by a bicycle. Central Park. He said the next day the cub was on every television station. The story is on every television station about this mystery who dumped the bear cub there because nobody believed that a bicycle could kill a bear cub like that. Kennedy's campaign says the admission was posted on social media to try to get ahead of a story expected to come out of the New Yorker that would reveal his involvement in the incident. So apparently, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was looking around and said, well, you know, all of this craziness, I got to get all this craziness of the presidential campaign is just not crazy enough. I got to get me a piece of that. I got to get in on this. And so he now, I think, has the craziest story of the presidential election. That's really weird. Oh, if all of this is making your head hurt, I mean, between everything that happened yesterday on Wall Street and the presidential election and everything, all of the craziness in the world, if you've ever said to yourself, it's enough to make your head hurt, apparently you are not that far off. A new study finds that it really does hurt to think too much. Researchers analyzed multiple different projects into this and found that the harder a person had to think about a task, the more unpleasant the experience was. So they asked the question, why do some people still tackle tasks that require cognitive effort? Dr. Eric Bijelveld, I think is how you pronounce it, said, I'm probably wrong on that, but he was the lead researcher of this study, says, it's not that people enjoy, exerting mental effort per se. Perhaps people choose mentally effortful activities despite the effort, not because of it. In short, people who engage in hard thinking might not, you know, be masochists, as it were, but might seek the pleasure of having achieved something. The research suggests that it could be beneficial for employers to reward employees who engage in cognitively difficult tasks because, yes, it does give you a headache. It does, as it turns out. It really does hurt to think. That's why I try not to as often as I can. And so if it's all of this craziness of the world is giving you a headache thinking about it, it's not your imagination is the long and short of it. And finally, this morning, lastly, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. We mentioned the big sell-off on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow down over 1,000 points. And that could take a whole toll on your heart. So we're talking about how it hurts to think too much, gives you a headache to think too much. They just published a study out of China. Researchers say volatility in the stock market can lead to increased adverse cardiovascular events like heart attacks and strokes. And what's interesting about this, they find that the risks were not just on the day of, but for 2 days after the big event. So for the next couple of days, you could suffer the effects of it. And the other thing that was interesting about this, it doesn't matter whether you've got a big swing downward in the market or upward in the market. Even if the market goes up dramatically, it can take a toll on your ticker. While bull runs in the market are a good thing for investors, the scientists say that the risk increases on those days as well, as rapid changes in stock values can induce a fear of missing out, leading to impulsive decisions that escalate stress or result in regret and anxiety. So these big movements in the stock market, take a deep breath. You're going to be okay. Calm down, because it can actually be detrimental to your health. Interesting stuff there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today, a chance of showers and storms, a high in the mid-80s, chance of storms tonight, a low in the mid-60s. Garner Trucking, based in Findlay, has once again been named a top woman-owned business in transportation by the Women in Trucking Association. Garner Trucking says this prestigious accolade highlights Garner Trucking's president and CEO, Sherry Garner Brumbaugh's dedication to fostering an inclusive and supportive environment for women, driving the industry forward with her leadership and vision.
I have a great team at Garner. They make it possible that we have this recognition. Passionate, caring culture attracts passionate and caring people.
Sherry brings more than 33 years of industry experience to her role and has been a repeated recipient of the award. Get more in this story on our website. The state of Ohio is expecting to generate significant revenue from the sale of recreational marijuana.
Ohio State University estimates recreational tax sales could bring the state up to $403 million worth of revenue within the next 5 years.
WTOL 11's Kaylee Kirby reporting. An Ohio veteran killed in World War II has finally been accounted for.
U.S. Army technician Harold D. Pittis from Fremont, Ohio, was 21 years old when he died during the war. His body was unable to be recovered due to intense fighting. In 1951, remains were recovered from a wooded area in Germany. Scientists were able to positively identify him using dental analysis.
ONN's Yolanda Harris reporting. The Fostoria Economic Development Corporation says registration is now open for Northwest Ohio's Ignite 419 event, designed to re-engage and reignite entrepreneurs, business owners, and managers. The event will include a full day of engaging workshops, a keynote speaker, and panel discussions with area experts to answer your questions on a variety of essential business topics. Ignite 419 will take place on Monday, October 21st in Fostoria. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you know, it is well documented that we are a very polarized nation right now. People are sharply divided on matters of politics, social issues, economics, you name it. And we are very willing to express those differences openly with others, regardless of whether they agree or not. In fact, we are often quick to criticize and even ostracize those who don't agree with us. But that's not really conducive to a healthy, productive workplace. So how can we learn to coexist
in those situations when we really have no choice. Dr. Joel A. Davis Brown works strategically with a variety of organizations, companies, and institutions to build consciousness, capacity, community, and collective esteem. He is also author of The Souls of Queer Folk, How Understanding LGBTQ Plus Culture Can Transform Your Leadership Practice. Dr. Brown, fact is that with very few exceptions, just about everybody works with people who have widely differing views than one's own. And while if you really wanted to, you could cut yourself off socially with anyone who thinks differently than you do, not really so at work.
That's correct. I think the reality is, and thank you for having me on the show, we work with, on average, people from 80 different cultural backgrounds, depending on the cultural dimension that you focus on. Hmm. So in this political climate, it's really important not to focus on the substance of the political debates that are taking place, but on the practice of how to have any type of critical, crucial, or difficult conversation while maintaining a certain level of respect, professionalism, and common courtesy. That's where I think organizations have a particularly unique opportunity to teach really leadership skills that will go well beyond the campaign season.
It's interesting you label this as an opportunity, because I think the easiest thing to go, the easiest route to take, and I can hear a lot of folks saying this, is, well, I just lay down the law. We're not going to have these conversations in the workplace. They are prohibited. You actually say that it is important to have political conversations at work.
I think it's important to use politics as a case study. So not necessarily to discuss candidates, platforms, or to fan the flames of political warfare.
Okay.
But to say, given the climate that we're in, how do we use this occasion to teach better skills? And here's the thing. This idea that the political climate now is divisive, to me, is an illusion. I think there's always been some level of division going back forth, I would say, the past 40 years. The only thing that's different now is how vociferous people are and how argumentative perhaps people can be, particularly in places like social media. Mm-hmm. But I believe the divisions have always been there. So this is an opportunity to teach us how we can be better. And I think the idea that we can keep politics out of any form, given the fact that politics reflects our values, I think is foolhardy. So rather than trying to have a blanket rule where people don't discuss it, and I do think it's important to make sure that politics and discussions of that nature don't disrupt productivity, let's use this as an opportunity to say, how do you build psychological safety? How do you manage cultural differences? How do you learn to talk and to disagree without being disagreeable? How do you affect emotional intelligence? That's where I think the conversation has to be focused. And if companies do this well, I think people can come out better on the other side, not just for the company, but for our society in general.
So the key is doing this respectfully, which, again, as you were alluding to, can sometimes be in short supply these days. So what is the key to doing that?
I think setting clear boundaries, making sure that people understand what respect means. And of course, respect is going to be different depending on the culture, the person, the individual, but certainly in alignment with your organizational values. And I think we have to be very clear, too, that what we deem to be political is going to change. So, for example, with Black Lives Matter, political, with Me Too, political, those events were lightning rod occasions, and they were social movements. They mm-hmm. helped to shift and change the conversation. How we frame something as being political determines on whether, frankly, we have privilege or not. For members of marginalized communities, a number of things may be deemed really just an essence or a means of survival as opposed to being political. So where do we draw the line? So that's where it becomes a bit problematic. So given that there are a number of things that may affect people, then how can we create that space? And I think by making sure that we practice empathy and deep listening, where we learn to listen, not to disagree, but to understand a person's perspective and to ask them, well, what do you need in this moment? So for example, if we work in an organization, what do I need from you as your teammate, as your colleague, to make sure that we can meet the organizational mission, that you can get what you need? And that might mean maybe you take an extended break because you're feeling some level of distress from something happening in the world. Maybe you need additional support because there's something going on in the ecosystem that is drawing away your energy. Maybe you just need space. Even it can be something as simple as someone just checking on you to say, how do you feel? Particularly, let's say if you have someone who comes from another country and their country's having elections like what we saw in Venezuela. Those are the humanistic traits we want our leadership, people in leadership to have. And that's where the focus is, not necessarily debating the finer points of political policy, but saying, how can we be more human? How can we be more collaborative? How can we create a greater sense of belonging in the process?
The point has been made that it is very easy to generalize and stereotype groups of individuals when you're thinking about them big picture, but it is easier to understand the differences that we have when you're talking one-on-one with another single individual. And I think that kind of speaks to some of what you're talking about here. That being said, there are going to be, especially in a workplace or in a community that leans heavily one way or the other. Ours is, by and large, a very conservative community. It's well documented. So those who find themselves on the left side of the political scale are probably more likely to feel vulnerable just by that very nature. How do employers, companies, and even individuals within companies best support those individuals who may be feeling vulnerable for whatever reason?
I think what you're speaking to is called in-group, out-group behavior. When we're in high school, in our neighborhoods, in our world, there are people who are in, you know, people who are more popular, people who have more social cachet,
right,
and those who, for whatever reason, are out. So I think, number one, if you're a leader, you need to address the elephant in the room and say, everybody here is welcome. You have to model the behavior, but you have to speak to the issue. What you resist persists. That's what my grandfather said. So if you don't actually address the issue, it will continue to linger until you do. So as a leader, you can send a message, whether by email on your internal platform, to say, I know this has taken place, whatever that issue or event might have been. I want to reaffirm our company or organizational values. That's a time to go back to the basics. It's an opportunity to say, we want to make sure that everybody here feels psychologically safe. And there are ways that you can work with your leaders, your cultural liaison, HR, to say, we want to make sure that people are free of harassment. People get to share how they feel in a safe space. That might mean having listening circles. You want to make sure that you have an open door policy. And you want to make sure, most importantly, that your leaders, which is not just the people in the C-suite, but your managers, understand how to drive home this message, and that they are taking and making tangible steps and taking tangible actions to make sure that people feel concerned, which might mean, again, checking in with each individual member of your team to say, how are you feeling? I'm not here necessarily to gauge how you what your opinion is, but to make sure that you feel comfortable, that you feel supported, and that you're getting what you need. That might mean supporting wellness activities, making sure that you, again, make people feel psychologically safe, so if there's something that's bothering them, that they can come and share that, and making sure that you're being constructive and solution-oriented if people do share that there are issues or concerns that they have in the workplace. So these messages seem simple, but they are really hard for leaders in situations like what we're seeing right now, and it's important to reinforce these things over and over and over again.
As we mentioned, what we're talking about here can encompass everything from politics to social issues, and really runs the whole gamut. But with respect specifically to politics, let's kind of zoom ahead a little bit, get to November, post-election. Regardless of the outcome, there are going to be those who are going to be anxious about how the results of the election will impact them, will impact their jobs. How can employers allay those fears post-election?
Well, I think the best employers, or the employers who I think are most people-centered, may even, let's say, have, you could even have a community discussion just to say, how do we want to be in the aftermath of this? Mm-hmm. Because, of course, the fault lines are still going to exist.
Yeah, it's not going to go away.
No, it's not. That's where your leaders, again, have to, again, model the behavior and say, we as an organization stand for inclusion. We practice empathy. We want to make sure that we showcase respect, and we always exude professionalism. That means that whoever's here in this building or in this organization belongs. We care about them, and we want to make sure that they feel safe. And we want to make sure that people understand that no matter who is in Congress, who's in the White House, no matter who the elected officials might be, that here we want to make sure that everybody is respected regardless of their political affiliation. And again, doing so saying that is not enough, but there also have to be practices put in place to make sure that people are not being harassed, that people feel that they can speak up when there's something bothers them, and that they feel supported on a day-to-day basis. Because again, these things are not going to go in, or disappear simply because the election has ended.
Right.
So it's going to be important to reinforce these practices over and over again and to come back to these things. So for example, the election is over in November, come back to them in January in the new year, come back to them in March, and continually reinforce this. And to make sure that people are following through, and if people are not following through, then hold them accountable. That's where a lot of organizations get into trouble, is because they say these things, they're aspirational, but they don't hold people accountable.
Again, Dr. Joel A. Davis Brown is author of The Souls of Queer Folk, How Understanding LGBTQ Plus Culture Can Transform Your Leadership Practice. Really interesting stuff here, and a lot there for workers, managers, business owners to think about. Where can we learn more about the book?
You can learn more about the book at my website, joeldavisbrown.com. Please feel free to pick up a copy. You might be surprised what you'll find out.
Dr. Brown, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So today is the day. Some people have been waiting for this for quite some time. Some people have been dreading this for quite some time. It's been in the works for months after being approved by the voters last year. Recreational marijuana sales in Ohio begin. And even though there are no dispensaries in Hancock County, local authorities obviously paying close attention to the rollout here. Sheriff Michael Heldman is with us in the studio this morning. And that's one of the points of emphasis we should highlight, the fact that there are no dispensaries here. There haven't been any applied for.
Nobody's applied for it.
We had talked with the mayor a couple of weeks ago, I believe it has been now, about the city of Findlay putting a moratorium on these businesses in the city of Findlay anyway. At least for the time being, until things kind of sort themselves out. Right. And I think that's where pretty much everybody is on the law enforcement side, too, aren't they?
Correct. And, you know, and talking about the moratorium and licensing and all the things that go with that, if anybody purchases marijuana at a vape store or at a tattoo parlor or whatever in the community, that's illegal.
Yeah.
Even though it may be packaged, it's still illegal.
Yeah.
So,
is that the biggest concern right now locally, that there may be those who are kind of skirting the law in terms of the licenses?
That's part of it, yes, absolutely, because you don't know what people are going to try and do. And, you know, it's always they want to get, you know, sell something, make money, and all these things. So that's one of the things we've been kind of watching. I talked to the state yesterday, and the gentleman that I talked to said, you know, as you just said, nobody's applied in Findlay or Hancock County.
Right.
But I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know there's going to be some around us. People are going to travel. It's going to be here.
Yeah, there are a couple in Bowling Green. I think at least one in Lima. There are a couple in Toledo. So, right. I mean, it's fairly nearby. You know
right.
that people are going to end up with it in the community.
Correct. You know, south of Upper Sandusky off of 23, there's the medical marijuana dispensary. So, I'm sure that will be one in the future.
Yeah. So a couple of rules of the road. You know, obviously this is something that people can use legally, recreationally now, but there are still, that doesn't mean anything goes. You can't smoke it in public. Every
can't
place,
smoke it in public.
Any place
can't
where.
Can't smoke it in your car.
Can't smoke it in the car.
No. It has to be. If it's in the car, it has to be packaged, sealed, going to and from your home. You can only smoke marijuana or use marijuana in your home.
So kind of like alcohol in that respect.
Correct.
That's another part of it. Driving while intoxicated also covers
Absolutely.
Marijuana use.
Absolutely. That'd be the same thing. And you'd be facing, if you know, you're smoking, caught smoking in your car, you could be facing an OVI charge for having that, being under the influence of marijuana.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of just sorting all of this out as to how people react. I'm thinking back when they dropped the nationwide 55 mile an hour speed limit.
Correct.
There was a lot of unknowns as to how people would react because for, you know, many people, they had never driven anything other than a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. So how much would people push the envelope? Is that kind of the same mindset?
It would be, yes. It is. And, you know, of course, as you say, they went to 55, then they went to 70, and then they went back down to 65.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that it is that because you're testing the water.
And legislatively, there are still some unknowns. They don't know what they're going to do with tax revenue yet. But also, the rules of the road, as we were saying, could change as well.
There's no case law. And until someone does something, violates the law, and it goes through a court system, you don't have case law as to how things are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of touch and go, testing the water, as you say, as we move forward through probably the next year, 18, 24 months, to see what really happens.
In addition to the commercially available marijuana, cannabis products, the law that was passed by voters back last year does allow for people to grow the plant for their personal use in the home. And I know that's also even caused some issues. I think there was a story out of Toledo last week about a gentleman whose home was raided because he had far more than the allowable limit. He's fighting that charge and so on. But again, a lot of, like you said, there's no real case law here.
Right.
So
in that case, you know,
unknowns.
The law is that they can have you personally and one person in one house can have six plants.
Yeah.
You and your wife can have 12.
Right.
Now, the definition of 12 plants, what is that definition?
Hmm.
Is it 2-inch plant? Is it a 24-inch, 6-foot plant? What is it?
Yeah.
So we have no real guidelines as to what that is.
And is it in the home, not, say, in the backyard garden?
It's in the home.
In the home.
That's what they're telling us.
Yeah. So, again, a lot to be sorted out here. And is there a concern that people will take advantage of that and push that envelope?
Absolutely. And in my history in law enforcement, they always have with different things, and especially the marijuana. I remember when I first became a law enforcement officer, you know, it was a big thing with marijuana. You caught somebody with marijuana, they went to prison.
Yeah.
Now it's...
Yeah, it's treated a lot differently.
A lot different.
And I know that there was a story not all that long ago in the news that the federal classification for marijuana, they were looking at changing and you know, moving it down the scale of classified drugs. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anyone believes that we have settled the matter, that we have seen the last of the...
I don't believe so either. You're going to see this. This is going to be, I'm going to say, tweaked and changed and modified.
I'm
thinking, as we have seen the alcohol sales now, with you can get different types of alcohol and everything else.
Well, look at the Dora, where you can
absolutely,
you know, have it, you know, downtown, moving from one business to the other. Not that that necessarily would be coming with marijuana, but I know that there are those concerns. My wife and I were in Vegas not all that long ago, and you can definitely tell that marijuana is legal in Vegas, even though it's not, again, even though it's not legal to smoke on the Strip.
It's there.
It's there.
That's
so.
Correct.
And so how much of that is a concern that this becomes something like that, or and how aggressively would you pursue something like that?
From my belief of the current law enforcement climate in Hancock County and in Findlay, if that would take place and we would notice marijuana out and about on the sidewalks or where it shouldn't be, it's going to be investigated and charged if necessary.
I suppose that that also should serve as a bit of a warning for those who are all in favor of this, that the more you push it, the more restrictions you're going to end
that's
up
correct.
With.
That's correct.
You know, that's also one of the things that's worth pointing out, I suppose. And how big is the concern? And this was long considered to be the quote-unquote gateway drug to other harder substances.
Correct.
Is that still a concern, or is that do you hold your breath that there might be an uptick in other drug use?
I have seen people start on marijuana and go on to much harder and serious drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't.
And some people don't, yeah.
So, you know, you hear people go to college, they use marijuana in college, they get out in the workforce, they don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe occasionally.
And
not no problem.
Yeah. So, again, one of those great unknowns. By the way...
Most of it's right here.
Yeah. exactly. And by the way... The change of the law does not require, from what I saw on the Ohio Department of Cannabis Control website,
right.
Employers can still say, no, can't use this.
That's
and
correct.
Test for marijuana. And
you can still do the test, yeah. Drug test and everything before. Yeah. Yes.
So, something interesting to point out is, as well. Everybody kind of learning as we go here. Sheriff Michael Heldman with us this morning as the recreational marijuana licenses start to take effect and recreational sales begin in the state of Ohio. Sheriff Heldman, thanks very much for
coming. Hey, thank you.
We appreciate it.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
We lead off with a story with an Ohio connection here. A fugitive wanted in the Buckeye State for his alleged involvement in a shooting back in 2004 has been found in Mexico. And what makes this story rather unique and worthy of inclusion in the broken news is that this individual, Antonio Riano, was located... working as a police officer. Mr. Riano, who is now 72 years old, allegedly shot then 25-year-old Benjamin Becerra and fled the country. Long after the case went cold, Mr. Riano, also known as El Diablo, was spotted in Mexico working as an officer of the law. He claims he became a cop to help the people of Mexico, and maintains his innocence. He was recently arrested, handed over to American authorities, who brought him back to Cincinnati to face charges. So, the shooting. He was working as a police officer. Wow. That's bold. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, now this is an unusual problem. This is an unusual problem to have. And it's let this serve as a warning to you if you are expecting a new little bundle of joy soon and trying to decide on a name. It's always been popular to name children after whatever is hot in pop culture. This is nothing new, but in this case, it turned out to create some problems. A six-year-old was denied a passport because her name, Khaleesi, is trademarked by Warner Brothers. Lucy is the mom's name. She's from England. Said her daughter's passport application was denied because she was named after a character in the popular show Game of Thrones. The problem is that the name was trademarked by Warner Brothers, producers of the show. Lucy said, I was absolutely devastated. We were so looking forward to our first vacation together. She was planning a trip to Disneyland Paris when she received the news that British authorities could not process her daughter's passport because her name was a trademark. I never thought you could trademark a name, Lucy says. If she could get a birth certificate, why would why was it not flagged when, you know, she got her birth certificate? But apparently it was just when she applied for the passport. Fortunately, officials later contacted Lucy to apologize. They said they would be able to process the documents. It would just take a little bit longer. So let that be a lesson. Again, if you are expecting a child, be careful the name you give him or her, because if it's trademarked, it might cause some problems, unforeseen, unexpected problems down the road. That's crazy. Let's see. Today's dumb criminal of the day. Well, not so much a dumb criminal, kind of a conscientious criminal, I guess. The San Fernando Valley in Southern California near L.A. has experienced a rash of burglaries of late, but at least in one case, the thief was rather polite. A surveillance video obtained from the Teriyaki Madness restaurant, which, by the way, can we just appreciate how great of a name that is for a restaurant? Teriyaki Madness. Surveillance video obtained from the restaurant shows someone breaking in and stealing money. In this case, however, the thief leaves behind a post-it note that reads, "Sorry, need money for drugs, won't come back." Sorry, need money for drugs, won't come back. Now, before you, feel too much sympathy for this guy who is obviously in a very bad way, keep in mind that surveillance video from a nearby store appears to show the same person making off with another $500 from another cash register. So, yeah, I won't be back, but I'll just go rob some other store. Apparently, he did not leave a similar note at the second location. There have been a total of nearly a dozen businesses that have been burglarized in just a two-day period, and police believe that the same person may be responsible for all of them. Detectives say they are working leads in the crime spree, but so far, the culprit remains at large. Do handwriting analysis there. Figure that out. And a couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. Now, this in Iowa, and I'm not sure exactly where in Iowa this is, but it was an office building in Iowa. Apparently, the vending machine in the office was something weird was going on. People in the building who were trying to buy snacks noticed something snapping at them. You don't expect the vending machine, the snack machine, to bite back. But apparently, it was. So they had to call maintenance. They had no idea what was going on, but the machine seemed to be snapping back. The maintenance person discovered it was a crab that had somehow made its way into the vending machine and was clawing at people when they reached in for their snacks. I don't know where the crab came from. I don't know that there are too many crabbing operations in Iowa, but somehow the crab got into the machine. Sadly, the crab had passed away by the time maintenance was able to get to the machine and open it up and find out what all was going on. So the crab is no longer with us, but that's weird. You don't expect the vending machine to bite back. You know, that's crazy. And finally, in the broken news, this is a great story. An admission ticket to Disneyland that was handed out as part of the park's 30th anniversary celebration in 1985 was recently honored by the park 39 years later. The ticket was given to Scott King, who happened to visit during the 30th anniversary celebration, and they were handing out prizes to like every 30th person who walked through the gate. And he happened to be one of those and won a free admission ticket for a return trip. He wasn't particularly happy with that at the time because one of the other prizes was like a brand new car. He didn't get the car, but he got a free admission ticket. Never used it, stuck it in a scrapbook. But then not all that long ago, his daughter decided that she wanted to take a trip to Disneyland with her boyfriend. But she was saying how expensive it was. And he said, he remembered his ticket and he says, "You know what? I have a ticket to Disneyland." Now, again, it was from 1985, so he had no idea whether it would still be good. But he called the park and a manager signed off. And yes, his 18-year-old daughter was able to enter the park on his free admission ticket from 1985. Back at the time, I think the admission was like $20, and now it's $100. But it worked. He was all too happy to give up his memento for his 18-year-old daughter, who he said earned it for graduating at the top of her class. So that's pretty cool. When I saw that story, actually, it's a true story. My wife and I went to Orlando for our wedding anniversary, or for our honeymoon, rather, when we got married in 1990. And we bought a four-day park hopper pass. I don't know if they called it that back then, but it was a four-day pass to the Disney parks. And there were only three parks at the time. And so one of those visits we never used. I have no idea where those tickets are now, but I wonder if we could find them, whether those would be good too. I would imagine so, I guess. They seem to have set a precedent there. I have to go do some digging through our old wedding souvenirs. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives as the sales tax holiday continues through Thursday in Ohio. A lot of people are shopping for things other than just school supplies. That's what it was, you know, originally supposed to be about, to help save families a little bit of money when they shop for their kids for back to school. But more and more things get added to, you know, the list of things that are exempt from sales tax. And so more and more people are shopping for other things besides school supplies. And we love getting a good deal. In a new survey of 2,000 Americans, the high that we get, that intoxicating feeling, that high that we get when we land a bargain, that feel-good buzz, lasts, on average, 3 hours. That's how much it really feels good to get a good bargain. For 10% of those in the survey, that post-purchase glow lasts for the rest of the day. And 27% say that they will brag about the good deal they got to friends and family. You ever do that? You feel so good about it, you got to brag about it? And it really doesn't matter what it is that we are buying. The craving for that feeling, that buzz that we get when we find a bargain, is so strong that more than half of Americans will splurge on a good deal, even if it's something they don't really need. And we've all done that, right? Kind of interesting, they also asked people in the survey, of all of the things that cost too much these days, what is at the top of the list of the things that are more expensive than they should be? And the two top responses, gasoline and fast food, the two things that are more expensive than they should be these days. Well, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's still plenty of summer fun to be had, even as the Findlay YMCA is busy preparing for the fall now. And Development Director Sierra Hutton is with us in the studio this morning. Sierra, getting ready for the fall. I know the YABS, probably the YMCA after and before school sessions sign up. Technically ended on the 1st, but there is still, I mean,
if you're still interested in that program, give us a call, because okay, it's got some revamping it's getting done, exciting new programming. So yeah, give us a call if you're still looking for that before and after school care.
Okay, but want to do that sooner rather than later, because
today,
I do know that you know, the spots are filling up pretty quickly, so may still be able to get in on that, but technically that ended for the 1st. So again, just getting ready for
call,
the fall.
At least. Yes,
getting ready
busy
for the fall already. Like we said, there are still a couple of things coming up this month. The first of which coming up this weekend, the Youth Triathlon.
Yes, we're very excited. Spots are also filling up there too, but we want to welcome any local kid that wants to come and bike, run, and swim with us at our Y Try. It'll take place this Saturday starting at 8 a.m. out at Riverside Park.
So. Okay, so everything happening at
yes.
the park.
Yep, everything then. Will be happening
so
at Riverside.
How will this work? Where will things be happening? Kind of take us through this here.
Yeah, so they're going to start over near the pool in that area. So they'll do swimming in the pools.
Okay,
so that will happen, yes.
It's not going to be in the river.
No like river
at,
swimming.
Like at the Olympics yeah. where there was some questions about the water quality. It's actually yeah. going to be in the pool. So.
Correct, yes.
Don't have to worry
yes,
about that.
No water quality issues there. Knock on wood.
You know. There you go.
Nothing happening. So yes, you'll be in our nice clean pool. And then there will be a route for running around the park and
okay.
along the river as well. So
all right.
the nice thing is this is open for kids as young as 5 years old. So we will have volunteers around the whole course to keep people on track, you know, keep everyone safe. We also have, if you're interested and you're still not sure, if you head out to Riverside Park tonight, tomorrow, or Thursday night at 5:30, we have a few training sessions going on. So
oh,
maybe
okay.
your child's interested, but maybe they're still a little nervous.
All right.
Take them out there this evening. Let them meet the chair, Greg, and ask questions.
Yeah,
so,
very
yeah.
cool. Just a great way to keep kids active,
exactly.
you know, in these waning weeks.
And learn new things.
Burn off some of that energy
yes.
before they head back to school.
Yes.
There we go. So that is actually happening on Saturday.
Saturday.
Correct?
And then okay. just to mention, our last free swim day is also Saturday. So
okay.
the pool, it will be taking place after the Y Try. It's completely free. We let in about 200 people at a time. And then if you leave, you get
awesome.
Back in line. And yeah, so it's a great day, a lot of fun.
Awesome.
We're looking forward to that too.
Okay. And then the next week, we've got the Battle of the Businesses
yes,
happening.
Yes, we're getting close to 10 teams signed up. It's going to be a very competitive day. I know.
So take us through this, the
yeah.
Battle of the Businesses. What is involved here?
Yeah, so if you have a culture of competition, this is where you need to come get that out. So we're going to have trivia. We have these boat races. And you have to forgive me because, you know, I'm new here. So this is my first year to really experience it. And all
okay.
I hear are these boat races are the best part.
Okay.
So you don't want to miss out. But there will also be volleyball going on and a lot of other activities that, you know, if you don't like to play volleyball but you want to do trivia, still sign up. And
so
then
you've
you
got
split
some,
people up.
So yep. you've got some physical activity
yep.
and some feats of strength, as it, mm-hmm. as it were. And then some of those non
Yeah, a little easier. Yes.
Activities.
Yes. Something for everyone.
That is on the 16th, which off the top of my
head.
Is Friday.
Yep.
Okay. So how do businesses sign up for that?
Yeah, any and all of our information on our upcoming events is at our website, just okay. FinleyYMCA.com. You can go there, check it all out. And then also just stop in and see us. We have flyers we're happy to give out. Come take a tour. Whatever you're looking for, we probably have something going on for you.
Okay. So the triathlon coming up on Saturday and the Battle of the Businesses the following Friday, the 16th.
Yes.
A couple of the big events. What else is going on here?
Yeah, we have a Fall Family Fest. You'll see information out on our website and a runathon on September 7th. And then our 24th annual Black Swamp Classic is coming up, which benefits not only our Y, but the Putnam County Y and the Braden Kramer Foundation. They have raised in the last 24 years over $3 million for local children.
Wow.
So we split
That's
the correct. Proceeds. Yeah, so 16th and 17th of September. Haven't gotten your team yet, just give us a call, visit our website, and we can help you get set up for that, too.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about those when we get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
But the Family Fall Fest, folks don't need to sign up for that.
No, that's a free fun day.
Okay.
You show up, we'll have lots of different activities going on, food trucks, and some of our board members will be taking part in a runathon mini fundraiser
okay.
as well. So
very
that
cool.
will be very exciting.
So circle that on the calendar for mm-hmm. September 7th.
Yes.
And then for the golf outing,
September 16th and 17th.
And folks can sign up for that now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go right online. If you check out our website, there's a link there to get to Black Swamp or give us a call and we'll get you all set up.
Okay. Let's see here. Other updates from the Y Capital campaign.
Yes, we are getting very close, fingers crossed, to breaking ground soon on our new Early Learning Center, which is, one, it's it's just going to be this incredible space for our children. We saw the need. We're meeting the need. We're going to be able to take more children, more opportunities for our teachers, families, and for collaborations.
More opportunities to interact with the other facilities of the Y, too.
Yes, so
given its new location.
Yeah, so phase one is the Early Learning Center. So that's going to take place right behind our building. Mm-hmm. So there's a grassy area that I'm sure everyone's wondering what's happening.
Yeah.
That's where that building is going to take place. So it'll happen there. And then once we break ground in about two-ish years, it should be ready. It's slated 12 to 18 months. So, so we're getting there.
And again, part of that funding is coming from the states and the one-time strategic investment fund, community strategic investment fund. But that it will not fund the entire project.
No. This
is a
big
project.
That's why
we talk about capital campaign.
Yes. Yeah. So this is a large project. We have a big goal of $10 million, and we are chugging along to that. But if you're interested in learning more about our capital campaign, I would encourage you to reach out to us and come sit down and see the renderings and some of our inspiration photos, because it's going to be quite the place for our kids to learn.
A lot of exciting things going on at the Findlay YMCA. As we mentioned, still a lot of things going on with the weeks that we have of summer vacation yet, and already starting to look ahead toward the fall. Again, Development Director Sierra Hutton with us this morning. We have a link for more information on our webpage as well. Sierra, thanks very much for the update.
Thank you so much.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program. Of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. We invite you to check us out on the World Wide Web. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program, the Hancock County Be Healthy Now Coalition is encouraging residents to participate in the latest Community Health Assessment Survey. We'll talk about what it is, why it's important, and what it'll be used for. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.